So thanks very much, Dermot, for organising this. So I'm Jeremy Parr from Newcastle University in the UK, where we run a large programme now of research concerning adults on the autism spectrum. And as you can see, what I'm going to very much focus on is the answer to this question. How will we get to know much more about the lives of autistic adults and their quality of life? And I'm going to focus on the processes to some extent. Because, of course, if you want to answer this question, if you're going to do effective research, you need to do it well, and we believe in partnership with the autistic community. So I'm very much going to talk about how to we've undertaken this stakeholder-informed research approach for meaningful engagement of autistic adults and relatives, show how that's led to excellent recruitment, and then think at the very end, I'm going to come back to quality of life and think about actually how we're going to potentially improve the quality of life of autistic adults working with people in the community. It falls to me as the first speaker to define quality of life for you. So this is how the WHO, the World Health Organization, define it. An individual's perceptions of their position in life, in the context of the culture, the value systems in which they live and in relationship to their own goals, expectations, standards and concerns. So very personalized and potentially about the here and now for people, which makes us think about outcomes in terms of short-term or long-term outcomes. Probably this is a short-term sort of outcomes thing. It is subjective. It's about their current life situation, and it's different from all those other things, well-being, happiness, participation, and it's not health-related quality of life. And I won't define those things because I don't have time. There are two papers, if you're going to read any papers about quality of life in autistic adults, one by Hilda, that you may well be mentioning, showing that age, IQ, symptom severity did not predict quality of life in older autistic adults. And the second one now in press, as of the last few days, by Michael Ayres, a medical student from Newcastle, who's undertaken a systematic review of the quality of life of adults on the autism spectrum with myself and Jackie Rogers and colleagues. And what these studies both show is that quality of life for autistic adults is lower than that for the general population. And then one of the other key findings from Mike Ayres' review is about lack of validated measures of quality of life for autistic adults. So just to think about how we've started to undertake research with adults on the autism spectrum, this all started for us in 2013 when the charity Autistica and we came together to think about how to plan a program of research around autism, life course and aging. And one of the key first elements was thinking about engagement and consultation with the autism community about what we were going to do. And of course, I say what we were going to do, but actually this is about, surely this should be about what the autistic community wants done in terms of research around the autism spectrum. Not this being researcher driven and led, but actually this being community led and autistic adults really saying what they want. So this is what people said. I'm not going to read them all out. I'll give you a few of them. Collect the life stories of people with ASD, pull out the similarities, differences between people's lives. What would research outcomes look like from an autistic perspective? What's a meaningful life outcome? How might employment have a positive role? How can we identify appropriate measures of quality of life and happiness? And very important down at the bottom, what are the needs of someone with autism with very limited social or verbal interaction with others? We mustn't forget that group of people who can't necessarily report for themselves. So we've been working with a number of autistic adults, and this is Cos Michael, and I thought rather than just hearing from me and my words on slides, when Cos and I presented at Autism Europe, we did this on stage together, and these are some of her words. So I'm going to read them out word for word, because of course they're her words and not mine. I'm not going to interpret her words. So this is what Cos was saying. Autistic people are often asked to participate without much information about what the research is for. If we feel included and we know how the findings will benefit people's lives, we're more likely to contribute. If we have input into research priorities, they're more likely to match the community priorities. Lifespan research matters because traits and abilities recorded will change over time. And knowing more about autistic aging empowers us to adjust lifestyles. And then this key point about nothing about us without us. So that's very much the way we have undertaken this research. And we came together with in a successful partnership with the UK autism research charity Autistica, who it's great to see representatives of here today, to think about a longitudinal cohort study of adults and relatives. We've had three autistic adults working with us, Chris Mitchell, Goff, and Coz, and they're paid for their time when they come to work with us. They come to Newcastle. We have two-day meetings, which are very carefully planned. We have a parent of a young adult, Deborah Garland, who works with us part of the research team for a day a week. We have people on the steering committee to make sure we are on the right track. And we did an extensive consultation about our materials and measures in both in relationship to our quantitative and our qualitative research. I'm going to talk a little about that now. So in 2014, when setting this up, we consulted with 50 autistic people and relatives. We had 7 meetings people received on our area, and their advice was absolutely invaluable in terms of helping us think about the way we should plan our research. And this led to, we consider ourselves a strong autism research group, and this led to us making a whole raft of changes to our materials. And actually, when we think back to that process, really, really positive about that. The documents were then sent to the people working with us as part of the research team, more useful feedback. And I think this is a key point. People often talk about ethical committees challenging researchers in relationship to how we undertake the research that we want to do. Actually, if you have a strong rationale to give them about the way the potential participants want to undertake that research and their views, I think that gives you a really clear guide to the ethical committee about why they should give you approval to do what you would like to do. And that's particularly important because when you're recruiting adults who lack the capacity to consent for themselves, and relatives reporting about autistic adults without the consent of those individuals. And we have ethical approval to do both of those things. So here are some of the points that we were told about. Think about simple things like font, think about spacing, background colors, easy read versions of documents that we create. So we have easy read versions of everything and have justified their use to the ethical committee. So actually those very long information sheets that we produce for research, we don't necessarily need everybody to read those. If they can read an easy read version, that's really important. Avoid crowding on materials, being able to potentially refuse to consent to some parts of the research but take part in others. And this key point at the bottom, we often say on our materials, you know, this will take you 30 minutes to complete. Well, it might take someone 30 minutes to complete. It might take someone with different processing speed and so on 2 hours to complete. And actually, what does that person feel if it then takes them a lot longer? Do they continue to engage with the process or do they not? And do you lose them right at the very beginning? And this is all about representativeness, isn't it? This is all about identifying representative cohorts of autistic adults to work with for many years. Completing materials on paper or online, thinking about some people that when one's undertaking qualitative research, who you're not going to be able to meet, but you might be able to do qualitative interviews by text message. How might the people who are going to support the autistic adults influence your methods? And then think very carefully about how qualitative research might be undertaken effectively. In terms of open-ended questions are potentially very difficult for autistic adults to report on. So Coz again would say that the strengths of this partnership have been that collaborative working started when shaping the project rather than autistic people being integrated after we had started a pre-designed project. Asked what outcomes that were important rather than being asked to work out how to best adapt into a neurotypical idea of normal. And then we meet regularly with autistic researchers to think about how they can suggest ways for us to engage effectively, advise on the range of communication methods, tailor our materials effectively, and think about mutually respecting autistic preferences and behavioral traits. Coz's final slide is this one. That the meetings and the ethos of undertaking research in this way has very much helped build trust and mutual respect. We get feedback that informs interactions during interviews, and this collaborative model demonstrates to both the research and autistic communities that cooperative working is possible and beneficial. There's no question that it has helped improve the quality and relevance of the project, and I'll show you why I think that, and I'll show you why COS thinks that too. I would say this is a considerable investment of time from both autistic adults and the research team in this partnership, and it's not always straightforward, and there's not always agreement. And of course, for some people that might be challenging, but actually what we have, because we have that mutual respect, is fine to disagree from time to time. And I think that's potentially quite important. You know, how can we make things better in terms of our research methods if we're always in agreement? So this is where we got to. We then set up an online site and paper materials in relationship to the adult autism spectrum cohort. And in the UK, we have the sort of environment that's then led to this. 50 autistic adults, 20 relatives per month, joining through 2016, 2017. So 1,450 adults and relatives participating as of May 2017, which is, I think you'll agree, a huge number in relationship to that amount of time. So when we think about the age range here, we have over 200 people who are aged over 50. Relatives, of course, naturally likely to be older, and about a 50% gender ratio for males and females for autistic adults, many more females of relatives reporting. People are all over the UK, so this includes people who lack capacity to consent for themselves, where their relatives are joining and giving information for them, and then relatives potentially joining the relatives cohort as well. We have recruitment through more than 100 organisations. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about some data. So in relationship to qualitative interviews, here are some of the themes we have. So autism characteristics, perception of self, coexisting conditions, diagnosis and sense making, response to feelings and thoughts, services and unmet need. And just thinking about some of the topics that influence quality of life within that, we have misdiagnosis, mental health, physical health, relationships with professionals, understanding about why diagnosis might help, suicidal thoughts, lack of understanding of health professionals, and all of these relate to people's quality of life and potentially become intervention targets. And we also have views about contrasts about life, you know, what's gone well, what's not gone so well. So there's two quotes here from women in their 50s. I feel like my life's been wasted because no one could accept the shortfalls I have. Fair enough, the era in which I grew up in was, you know, but then I'm very disappointed. And then someone else in contrast saying, well, this is the best I've been, would you believe it? Even though I've got the diagnosis, because I understand it now, I'm on tablets, but they're not going to be continuously changing my medication. They were looking in the wrong place in relationship to original symptomatology. So we now have a program of research around autism spectrum life course in aging in Newcastle that involves intervening in relationship to potential targets to improve quality of life. Sat at the very heart of this is the adult autism cohort project of autistic adults and relatives. And I can't go through all of these because of time, or indeed name all of the people who are taking part, apart from to say in the bottom corner, the Bath and Bristol team are leading an RCT around guided self-help to treat depression, and we're taking part in that. The rest are Newcastle-led projects. And this is all about improving quality of life. So sat right at the heart of this as an ethos. I'm going to end by saying, you know, this is the research priority setting exercise led by Autistica in 2016. And here's the autism top 10, i.e. the top 10 research priorities for the field. And we're now undertaking research in five of those areas, I suppose giving some face validity to that this process of working on the research priorities of the community. So it's a thank you from me for that. And if you would like to read a bit more about our ethos, there's a chapter in the Scott Wright edited book around autism spectrum disorder in mid and later life that you can read. So thank you to a number of people who've taken part in working with in partnership with the autism community to create this model of longitudinal research. Thanks to Autistica for funding this program of work. We're continually grateful for that. And to you. Thanks very much.